Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Roshan Johnson at running back for the Bears with 44 seconds left. It's a play action. Mooney is all alone. Got some room. And Mooney with a nice cutback to keep up the first down. And still going. Darnell Mooney finally cut from behind. Colin Saunders on the tackle, but a 39-yard catch and run for Darnell Mooney.
I mean, this is awesome. In the open field, it looks like he's just going to go out of bounds. They go with the keeper, fake to the right, come back to the left, and slip Mooney from the backside. And right here, it looks like he's going out and then just stutters. And then comes back inside and catches everybody off guard and shows that speed to get the big gain. A huge explosive gain for the Chicago Bears after the interception, too. How big is that for a young quarterback?
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
And definitely a great game from Darnell Mooney. His largest output of the season. 5 receptions, 82 yards. Actually, let me see when was the last time he even had 82 yards. Okay. Last season, right around the same time, October 2nd, he had 4 catches, 94 yards. He had a big 56-yard catch on that one. But that's it. So second largest output in 2 years. And then 2021, oh, damn. Damn. 2021, we forgot about this Darnell Mooney. 12 catches, 126 yards. Last week of the season against Minnesota. A couple weeks before that against Detroit and Baltimore. 5 catches for 123. 5 catches for 121. Targeted 16 times? I got to go back and look at this. Who was the...
I think it was Andy Dalton playing quarterback.
So I'll get to that last one. But this game against Baltimore where he was targeted 16 times, it was a combination of Andy Dalton and Justin Fields.
I was at that game.
You were?
I was.
Against the Ravens?
Me and my brother, yeah.
That's what's up. Where'd you guys sit? Oh, that was the game that Tyler Huntley came in.
Yes.
And crushed the Bears' soul. I remember the long
touchdown to Marquise Goodwin. I lost my voice after that play.
Damn. Marquise Goodwin, the 49-yard bomb. Darnell Mooney, 16 targets. That's because nobody else was there. It was Darnell Mooney, Marquise Goodwin, Jimmy Graham, Cole Kmet, David Montgomery, Jakeem Grant, and Damir Bird. Those were the people that caught passes that day.
Oh, wow. I remember that receiving corps.
Oh, my God. That was horrible.
You want to know the game, though, that Darnell Mooney really caught my eye was Justin Fields' first start at Soldier Field against Detroit. When he had that 50-yard pass, I'm like, this combo feels like they are going to be special.
That was a big game. He had 5 catches for 125 that day.
Matt Nagy redeemed himself after that day.
Yeah.
One of the rare times.
But you want to know why they won that game? Because David Montgomery had 23 rushes for 106 yards. 2 tutties. You relied on the run. Justin Fields was 11 for 17 for 200 yards. It's like, that is the recipe. And that, it's okay to say that. Like you don't have to be like, well, damn it, I have to have a top 10 quarterback in the league in order to, like, to win Super Bowls, yes, you have to. But to be the best version of who you are in the present, it's okay to say, I have a quarterback that's in the middle of the pack. But you know what? You think my offensive line sucks? Well, Deontay Foreman's going to prove otherwise.
I was going to say, Gabe, it's clear the Bears have their identity. Why do you think Luke Getsy seems to skim over it almost every game?
It's a great question, Tyler. And I think the simple answer, and again, I say this because I do not know Luke Getsy. I never talked to the man. I wish I could. I can read people in minutes. But I genuinely think he thinks that, and I have no problem with this. I'm going to be very clear. He thinks he knows more than, you know, most. Like, he's very confident in the podium, knowing damn well people are trashing him and being like, yeah, you know, I ran this play because this is the reason why. I did this because of this. And in that situation, this is what you do. Like, it's very matter of fact. So to your question, which is why do I feel like he, it's because I think that he genuinely feels like he knows what's best. And so instead of not giving the people what they want, but instead of, yeah, giving the people what they want, he's like, nah, trust me. Like, I said it again, Darrington Evans on 3rd and 6 to get a screen pass. Again, when that should be going to DJ Moore, or anyone for that matter, else other than Darrington Evans on a crucial play like that. Or Valus Jones to be having a play drawn up for him in the fourth quarter. It's just like, but again, he's like, nah, trust me. Valus Jones, I've seen him do it in practice. He can do this. Darrington Evans, this is going to be a great play. You want to know why? Because they're going to be double teaming DJ Moore. And I know that if I draw this up for him, this is going to be, again, never talked to Luke Getsy, but I can tell you what I think the man is thinking. And that's why I think the offense runs like that. Because if it were me, it would just be a, and you know what? Maybe, and this is what goes back to what I was talking about earlier, right? Fabian called up and said it. You got to love the jersey, right? I know what it was like to win games in ugly fashion. I was there. I was watching them. I was rooting for the team. So I know what it's like to play good defense, run the ball, and win a one-score game because you did everything right and you made the least amount of mistakes. That's okay. If that's what Bear football is, then that's what Bear football is.
Luke Getsy should also look back at the last 2 years with Deontay Foreman filling in for other guys and just going absolutely crazy.
He's a monster. But we continue. Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tracy on the south side. Tracy, what'd you think about this Bears game?
I'm so upset with the offensive coordinator. He's trying to prove how smart he is. And the thing is, he's proving that he's not as smart as he thinks. What he should do is go with what's working. If the run is working, go with the run. If the pass is working, go with the pass. If they can't stop it, why change it?
Yeah, it's tough. What do you think about? Let me ask you this question, because the run game has seemed to have been working as of late. You've seen Dante Foreman; he had 20 rushes, Tracy, 20 on Sunday. When Khalil Herbert comes off the injured reserve, what do you think Luke Getsy's going to do with that running back room?
I think it's going to be Foreman and Herbert.
So what happens to Roschon Johnson then, Tracy?
Well, I think that Roschon is going to be third, because I think that that's going to be a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call, Tracy. I knew I wanted to, you know, test Tracy a little bit because I knew that was a good question. I mean, I think when you think about it, the running back room is going to be full. Deontay Foreman has proven he belongs. And even when Luke Getsy didn't want to lean on him, he was still there with the opportunity to prove it, and he has. And so it's going to be an interesting discussion.
I know you said you wanted to build the Bears around your 5 specific players, Gabe, but if you are GM Ryan Poles this upcoming offseason, are you re-signing Deontay Foreman to, let's say, a 2-year cheaper contract?
No, just because of how people are valuing the running back position. Not me, I value it, but everyone else. And if he feels as, because the fact of the matter is, Roschon Johnson should be Deontay Foreman next season, to be very clear. You draft a Roschon Johnson, you have faith in him, and then ultimately you want him to be the bruising you know, initiator in your backfield. You allow Khalil Herbert or anyone else that you're able to bring in to be that scat back, to be the explosive back that can get you something like the Austin Eckler type, right? Depending on what you want your offense to look like, Luke Getsy's still going to be a part of that. So, again, I think, you know, that's going to be, but I think Deontay Foreman is purely just auditioning for his next team.
It's not even a one-year deal?
Nah. Again, remember, Deontay Foreman didn't start the beginning of the season. Why? Because they drafted Roschon Johnson and they felt confident in giving Roschon Johnson that Deontay Foreman role. What I felt they should have done, this is, you know, my opinion, right? So I thought Deontay Foreman should have been the starting running back from the very beginning. Khalil Herbert should have, you know, maintained his role as the secondary kind of change of pace back. Because let's not forget, the number one knock on Khalil Herbert was that he was poor in pass protection, right? So you allow the veteran, Deontay Foreman, to get in there. He's your workhorse. You lean on him. You let Justin Fields complete his third and shorts. And then in the event that Deontay Foreman gets injured, right, because now he's carrying the load, similar to that of Khalil Herbert, who got hurt for carrying the load, now you bring in Roschon Johnson. You've allowed him to kind of learn under Deontay Foreman. Now, and we already know, now we do, what kind of runner Roschon is. Imagine him coming in week four, fresh, crushing opposing teams, defenses, their safeties don't want to tackle him, like that kind of stuff. And then he softens them up for Khalil to kind of continue to do his thing. Like that to me would have been the ideal situation. But again, I don't talk to these guys. I don't know what they're thinking in their head.
You know, it's a crazy thing that I like just thought about now. Remember when Grody was reporting in August nearing the regular season that Deontay Foreman was a potential cut candidate?
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, none of us could really believe it. We're like, what are you talking about? But again, there's a lot of faith that is put into their own draft picks. And I get it, right? Like, we can't fault GMs and coaches for letting Velus stay on the team and stick around, right? Like, think about it. If you picked something or hired someone, if you were a boss, right? You're like, oh, it's like me, right? If I'm like, okay, I'm hiring producers, right? There's four producers here that I could choose from. But I say, you know what? No. I'm going to bring this guy in. And he sucks, right? Like, he sucks, but I brought him in because I think he's a good guy. Me, Gabe, I'm the GM of this, whatever it is. And then everyone's like, dude, you got to get rid of that guy. He sucks. And I'm like, wait, yeah, but I imagine I brought him in. It's a good dude. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, maybe he never used this board before. He's never ran the show before. He was an assistant coach. He wasn't the full, you know what I'm saying? And then the next year, and you're like, oh, you got to get rid of him, Gabe.
The culture is good.
The culture is good. Yeah, he gives me a good vibe. He messes up a lot, but damn, you know, he dropped the ball a couple. But what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make is, right, there's a human nature or human aspect to this. And is that sometimes you, when you make a decision on some things, you want to give it the benefit of the doubt. You want to let it run its course before you move on or do something like that. And we've seen that happen with this regime with draft picks and coaches and players that they've signed, right? We've seen it happen, and that's okay because it's not something that they have to be married to and do forever, but it's something that, you know, we've seen a trend. And it'll be interesting to see. Again, we're going to have another offseason, another draft, and we get to see the rest of the season, which is going to be fun, and we get to see how this thing plays out. But in the present, we get to definitely assess the management and most certainly the coaching staff. And that's who we get to hear from, excuse me, right now. I got a cough right there, Louise. So Coach Eberflus addressed the media following the loss to the New Orleans Saints. And there's some interesting takeaways that I want to talk about afterwards, but take a listen.
Okay, good evening. Just an update on Kari Blassie game. He's in concussion protocol, so we'll see where that goes for this week. But obviously, it's going to be tough to get back there for him. We just hope he's okay and hope he's doing fine with that. Overall, for the game, I thought we took the ball. Decided to take the ball with the coin toss there, and guys did a really good job of taking the ball down the field. I thought that was the first 15 was really good. And, you know, obviously we scored a touchdown there. That was excellent. Got a four and out on defense, you know, and then we had that one interception from there. And really in the first half, I thought, you know, our offense did a good job operating. We got some good yards in there from a bunch of different ways. Running the football was a big goal for us today, and I thought we accomplished that goal. Stopping the run was also a big goal for us, and I thought we did that as well. When you look at the, you know, the third downs in the first half for the defense, it wasn't good, right? We were 5 of 6. Didn't do a good enough job on that, but we came back in the second half and they end up, you know, 7 of 14, but we did a good job with that, you know, adjusting, and the players did a good job of executing to give ourselves a chance to win in that situation there. With, you know, really the story of the day, right, is just the takeaways. You know, you can't, it's hard to win. You know, the league's pretty even, you know, in most spots, and it's hard to win when you have -5. And again, that's a whole team thing, right? It's us protecting it, us protecting the quarterback, us getting on defense, and us doing a better job there, taking the ball away on D. So again, that's really where the story was. Again, I love the fight of the guys at the end there. Defense gave us a chance at the very end with those stops that we had and with the missed field goal that they had. But with that, open up to questions.
Matt, Tyson Bajan's day, it looked like things were going very well for him through three quarters, and then a lot of problems at the end, turnovers, not a lot of completions. What happened to him in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, just, you know, I'm going to have to look at it. And what I saw out there was, you know, they play man coverage, right? That's what they do. They're tight coverage there. And we were throwing it into tight windows. And we got to do a good job with our decision making and accuracy. And that's where it is. And again, I'll look at the tape to see exactly what they were doing. But again, that's the first number one job of a quarterback is to protect the ball.
Do you feel like you guys were getting a lot of opportunities at the end to win?
Yeah. We made stops on downs on defense. We had time. We still had time. We still had time, and the guys were fighting and battling. And you know, because of that, we made it a game at the end. And so I really believe that we had a chance at the end there.
What was the biggest difference with the defense in the second half? They gave a couple touchdowns in the first half, no touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah, it's just the third downs. Yeah. The reason they kept those drives, we were playing the run great. We were tackling good. We were doing all those things well. And, you know, during that first half, the only thing that they had on the plus side was the third downs. You know, like I said, 5 of 6, and I believe 2 of them were in the red zone. You know, so that's where we need to get corrected, and we made the adjustment, and they did a nice job.
Matt, are you guys optimistic about Justin after seeing him throw Friday?
Yeah, he's day-to-day. We'll find out more tomorrow, and we'll see where it is because, you know, he started throwing, which is a positive, and we'll see where it is in terms of his functionality.
Are you hoping that he could be back Thursday?
We'll see where it is. We'll see.
How was the week at large? How do you think you and the team handled that? There was a lot going on. You had trades. You had...
Yep.
Trade demand that didn't happen with Jalen, you had David Walker, and then on the road Saturday.
Yeah, I would say really good. Obviously, if we would have won the game, it would have been great. It's not great because we lost. But our guys hung together. They always do. They practice well. They came out ready to play today. And again, if we get the ball right, we would be right today. So that's where it is. But guys were physical. They finished every play, and they played our style, which is the style we want to play.
Tyreek Stevenson left with an injury. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, we'll see where he is. I know it was a lower leg injury. We'll see where he is tomorrow.
What was the key to the running game? Doing well early in the game, especially the first half, and then there were the adjustments that they made, and it didn't seem like there was many big holes as there were earlier.
Again, they shift the front a little bit here and there, you know, to overload that one side that we were running to the whole time. And that's, again, my hat's off to them. They made the adjustment, and it wasn't as effective as it was. But again, I thought we did a really good job overall during the course of the day of running the football.
They don't talk much about Bajan's ability to run with the ball, but it seemed like he really took advantage of things out there to get 70 yard rushing.
Yeah, he's had some really nice plays, you know. And it wasn't just the QB scrambles. You know, there was a disconnect from the runner a couple times, you know, where he kept the ball on those. And that was cool to see him on the edge there. And, you know, it's also the keepers. You know, he had some waggles and boots where he got on the edge and had a chance to either run pass option. And he did a good job with that.
What was the plan for Sweat today?
Yeah, just play him on the third downs, play them on the in the 2 minute. And again, my hat's off to the defense. Really did a really nice job at the end of half, 2 minute during that situation. You know, they still had some time. They still had some timeouts, and our guys did a really good job with that. But for the most part, play them third down, 2 minute, then we're going to roll them in first and second down. So it was a good plan.
How did he look to
you? He looked good. I thought he had a couple good pressures there. He's getting his feet wet, you know, different style of defense, you know, a little bit different terminology, you know. So for him to come in here and play that many plays, it was cool.
What was the significance for you guys to get that deal done yesterday, to get it done, not exactly right away, but before you even play the game, and now it's finished?
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely important. You know, Ryan and his staff did an awesome job working through that and getting that done in a timely fashion. And we're all excited. You know, when you add a pass rusher, you know, to your defense and to our franchise, that's a big deal for us going into the future.
You and Ryan both talked this week about how you felt you were closer than people thought. In what ways are you, and what ways aren't you?
Well, I mean, this would be evidence that we are very close, you know, because, you know, being -5, you know, in the turnover margin and keeping it that close, the ability for us to show our style, you know, our style is to run the football, stop the run, be physical, and we just got to get the ball right.
What do you make of Tyson's experience here now? If Justin's back next week, this is it for Tyson for now. Three starts, some ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of his operation, okay, and knowing, you know, the offense and operating the huddle in and out of the huddle, for a guy to come in there, you know, as a rookie like that, was pretty impressive when you think about it, you know. And I think he's had really good moments in that, you know, the starts that he's had. And again, he's going to build off of that. You know, he's got to learn. The most important thing Tyson can do now, because the performance is over, you know, is to learn from his performance and to get better, you know, and to partner up with the coaches, with the offensive coordinator, with myself, and look at those plays where he needs to improve, and also look at the good plays. There is a lot of good plays out there that he had, you know, in the first half, third quarter, today. And he's got to build off of both those things.
You guys, I think they were on your half of the field for every play in the fourth quarter. Have you ever seen that before? Number two, the game seemed to kind of grind to a halt there at the end with both defenses playing pretty well. Do you think you have a chance at the end to break through?
Yeah, we always do think we have a chance. You know, we just got needed one takeaway on defense to give ourselves a short field and put ourselves in scoring position, you know, or a kick, or a punt return or a kick return, whatever that might be, to really flip the field. Because of the turnovers, they were playing on the midfield most of the day, and that happens sometimes. And that's called sudden change, and our defense did a great job of rising up to the occasion on most of those occasions during the course of the day, getting a three and out, making them punt. You know, stopping them on downs and doing that. This gives our team a chance.
What do you make of the offensive line penalties today? I think everybody but Tevin had a false start or a hold.
Yeah, you go back and look at those. You know, obviously the false starts are the false starts. You know, we got to clean those up. But the holdings, you got to look at them. You know, sometimes that happens when you extend plays on the perimeter. You know, when you're extending plays as a quarterback, that happens sometimes. But again, I'll go look at them. You know, I'll look and evaluate all those penalties and see what we think.
Can you get an explanation on the
Bayless flag? The face mask? Yeah, it was a face mask. He grabbed it. It was a face mask.
When you have penalties, kind of a really option time like that, is that a learning lesson, or?
Yeah, you just can't do that. You know, we're pro football players and coaches. We know that you can't grab the face mask. We got to be better than that.
On the Tyson Bajan scramble in the first half, that they marked it short and then you challenged and then won the challenge. Talk about the operation, like how you decided to do that.
Yeah, so upstairs, you know, Harry's upstairs, and we're always looking at it. And I thought that it was spotted short to begin with. So we looked at it on replay, and then, you know, we had enough time. And again, it was early, so we just threw it. And we had a good look at it, and it was overturned. It was good by the league.
You guys have your quarterback depth chart the way it is for a reason. Justin's your starter for a reason ahead of Tyson. What does Justin bring to you guys when he comes back that you don't have right now?
I would just say the experience factor. You know, him playing all those games, certainly an experience factor. And, you know, he's operated in this offense, you know, and he's had some good weeks, you know, prior to this, the Washington game. You know, he's had some good games this year. You know, so we're excited to get him back when he comes back, and certainly the dimension of also the disconnection running the ball.
Thank you.
You know, he likes, you know, he can obviously run the ball, and the quarterback runs are viable there too. And, you know, the perimeter is getting under attack more. So that's what he brings.
Interesting stuff right there from Coach Eberflus. A lot of takeaways for me. And, man, let's just start at the very end where he says, this was a great question, by the way, where he said, what are you getting from Justin Fields that you aren't getting right now? And he said the experience factor. Coach Eberflus could have gone in several different ways right there, but he settled in on the experience, not the arm, not the arm strength, not the just experience factor. I don't know. I feel like that's the easy way out. What else could he have said about Justin Fields, right? Like, that's the easiest thing to say, where you could have complimented him in several other ways. He chose to lean on that. Interesting. He did mention Tyrique Stevenson having the lower leg injury, which we saw him on the sidelines holding his helmet. Tough when you get a young, right, a young player coming in. We saw it last year with Kyler Gordon. This year, now it's with Tyrique Stevenson. These guys are physical, as Coach Eberflus is pointing out. They do run to the football. And when that happens, unfortunately, you're going to sustain a few injuries. And on the defensive side of the ball, Bears have had a lot of that, whether it be Eddie Jackson, Jaquan Brisker, Jalen Johnson for a couple of games, now Tyrique Stevenson, Tremaine Edmonds missing a game today with a lower leg injury as well. So Bears suffering through some stuff, but, you know, he also mentioned the Montez Sweat situation and just adding a force on the defensive line. And he mentioned for the future. And I enjoyed hearing that because he understands, hey, he's going to have a long time here, despite what a lot of people think. All right, let's take a break. And on the other side, listen, we know the Bears lost. Like I said, it's still entertaining. So there's still moments, right, that we should highlight. And for me, I have the good, the bad, the ugly. Something good from the game, something bad from the game, and then something extremely ugly. But I want you to be able to do the same. You saw the game, or at least you watched it back. You've seen some highlights. What was something that was good for you? What was something that was bad for you? Or maybe the ugliest play of the game that you saw that you felt like ruined everything for you? 312-644-6767. I'm going to take your phone calls, then give you mine on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Four.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
And you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. What a day we have for you here on 670 The Score. Dustin Rhodes leading you off with the pregame show for Mully and Hall that starts at 5 o'clock. And then Olin Krutz hangs out at 7 a.m. Olin Krutz gives us some of the best insight. He'll be here at 7. DJ Moore, Chicago Bears wide receiver, will join the show at 8 a.m. And then Dan Wiederer will be the last guest from Mully and Hall. That happens at 8:40. Bernstein and Holmes, don't worry, it continues. Anthony Heron at 11. Josh Schrock at 12. And then Parkins and Spiegel. Kurt Warner, 2:40 p.m. He'll be jumping on with the guys. Mark Grody will join at 4. And then Jalen Johnson, star cornerback for the Chicago Bears, We'll hang out with the fellas at 5 p.m. on your ride home. Make sure you're listening to that. I mean, geez, Jalen Johnson and DJ Morris, like, it's got to be crazy over here. Things are going crazy. We're taking your calls. Excuse me. We're taking your calls. Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. Talking about the good, talking about the bad, and talking about some of the ugly moments from the game that really stood out to you. I have my three over here. I'll get to in a second. But let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Tim out in Florida listening on the Odyssey app. Gotta love that, Tim. What's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, brother?
Doing good. Talk to me about this Bears game. What'd you think?
I think, you know, we're a work in progress for sure. I like Jack Sanborn. I think he's doing a heck of a job, and I think he needs to be in on more snaps. And Edwards is good, but Sanborn has something special. I think he's a mini Urlacher just starting the show.
You mean like a mini Urlacher? That's tough. Listen, I agree. Jack Sanborn does a phenomenal job of being by the ball, right? When you're looking at those plays, far too often in the last couple of years, Tim, we've seen this Bears defense operate where you haven't said anyone's name, right? You have a bunch of unknowns. Right. No one that's making a play where you're saying, wow, you know, where the announcers are saying their name for making a stop. You've seen a little bit of that this year with Andrew Billings making plays up the middle. You've seen, you know, obviously Yannick Ngakoue having his couple of sacks. But Jack Sanborn is a guy that's, for some reason, right, Tim? For some reason, he always finds his way around the ball.
He's a ball hawk. He finds the ball. He gets to it. You hear his name called. And I guarantee if Edwards was there yesterday, we wouldn't have heard his name called as many times.
No, don't say that. Edwards is Edwards. T.J. Edwards is definitely a guy that can, he's holding his own. But obviously, remember, T.J. Edwards and Jack Sanborn both went to Wisconsin. They played at the same time. Let's not forget that, right? So, but Jack Sanborn, he's just what some would say would be like a slower dude where he's like 6'2", 234, but he's a baller. You know, I talked to Corey Wooten, my guy. We do the Bears post game on Sundays on Fox 32 together. And he said the exact same thing about Jack Sanborn. He's like, what he has is that he's just a gamer, right? He's an actual football player. And that's what he does well. And if you look at, you know, what he's done for this team, you know, this last game against the Saints, seven solo tackles, one tackle for a loss. The game against the Chargers, seven solo tackles. I mean, that's impressive. He has three tackles for a loss on the season. He has that one interception that he got in Kansas City, even though it was against the backup quarterback. But, hey, the stat line says Kansas City, and nobody knows the difference. But Sanborn obviously is there, but let's be very clear. They gave money to T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds for a reason, because they felt as though they needed upgrades at those two positions. So Sanborn being a great addition, someone that you can carry along the roster, but you know, it wasn't just Eberflus that made that decision. It was Ryan Poles. It was, I'm sure, a team of people that made that decision. So although we find Jack Sanborn to be a tremendous athlete, I mean, but it's hard to make an argument against that, right? Because like he really is a guy that is everywhere you want him to be. Now, obviously, maybe he's missing some assignments we're not knowing about, or maybe he can't make a difference. You know, he's not tall enough, being only 6'2". Tremaine Edmonds is 6'7". Feels like 6'7"? Tremaine Edmonds? You didn't know that?
No, I didn't. Oh my God, he's 6'7"?
He's a monster.
I seriously didn't know he was that tall.
Well, I'll tell you right now. Maybe not 6'5".
Oh, that's tall for a linebacker.
6'5", though. I knew he was really tall. 6'5", 250.
No, you are right about Sanborn, though. He makes way more impact plays than the other linebackers that like pop out to you.
But look at T.J. Edwards' game log. Total tackles against the Saints, 15.
Wow.
13 against the Chargers. And those last two games, same last two games, against the Saints, one tackle for a loss, just like Jack Sanborn. Against the Chargers, two. Two tackles for a loss. So, I mean, you know, he puts in work. You can't hate on T.J. Edwards. He's definitely everywhere where he needs to be. And that's a lot of tackles. You can't, like, hate. You know what I'm saying? So, Sanborn, though, it does stand out. It's the tackles for... You know what it is that Sanborn does exceptionally well, and this is, for me, what stands out? His ability to tackle in the open field. Very rarely do you see someone get past him. If you're within reach, Jack Sanborn wrestles you to the ground. And that's something that we noticed. He seems powerful and dominant.
One more thing about T.J. Edwards, too. Mm-hmm. He is second in the NFL in tackles with 100, just two behind Zaire Franklin on the Indianapolis Colts.
And that's with, let's not forget, that's with the Bears' rushing defense prior to this game. Even though they did a good job stopping the run in this game. But prior to this game, they were allowing 78 yards a game rushing. The Bears defense. That's good. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah.
78? That's great. They're third in the NFL in rushing yards allowed per game.
Most tackles for loss, too, in the run game.
And that's what I'm saying. So think about that where you have a T.J. Edwards who's top five in the league in tackles, and you have a run game that's stuffed. You know what I mean? The run game stuffing. So you're up. You assume that's up front stuffing, the front four. But you got T.J. Edwards still contributing to that. All I'm saying is linebackers are doing their job.
Bears always find a way to get good linebackers.
Bears gone Bears.
Always.
And Bears are most certainly going to Bears in the form of the good, the bad, the ugly. And that's what I was asking you guys to call in about. Like things that you thought were good, things that you thought were bad, things that you thought were absolutely ugly from this game. And there's quite a few. So I have my three. My good, my bad, my ugly. But feel free to call in. 312-644-6767. Let's go ahead and start with the good.
Chicago in the red zone, where they are tied for fourth this year in touchdown percentage. Bajent looking deep for Cole Kmet. Oh, what a catch! Kmet goes up to get it, and it's a touchdown for the Bears!
I mean, how good is this start for Tyson Bajent coming out in the dome down here? It's rocking, and he comes back, and it is absolutely gloved. And gives his man a chance, gives Cole Kmet a chance on the throwback.
This was an ill-advised throw. What an unbelievable catch by Cole Kmet. And he cups it, too. No movement when he hits the ground, tucked up against his shoulder. Wow.
The first of two touchdowns for Cole Kmet. Six catches, 55 yards on the day, two touchdowns, targeted eight times after having no catches in the first game against Las Vegas, which is wild. But that has to be the good. Absolute dime by Tyson Bajent for that first touchdown. Threw it up there. Cole Kmet couldn't even believe that he pulled it down. But it was good to see him. Cole Kmet seems to do that, right? Finds touchdowns in bunches.
He mossed the Honey Badger.
And he ended up, he mossed it. And then he ended up, you know, being that guy for the Bears today. So that's your good, right? When you're looking at what good came out of this, you could have said Dante Foreman, 20 rushing attempts for 83 yards. He had that big scamper for 22 that he got upset at himself that he didn't take to the house. I know he wanted to do that. Darnell Mooney getting loose, biggest output since October of last year. So I know it felt good to get over that marker for him as well. So a couple of good things there, but most certainly Cole Kmet, you know, being that guy, someone for Tyson Bajent when he wasn't initially. And if it was good, I'm sure for Tyson Bajent to get a completion that was, you know, pretty long out there. Robert Tonyan got an 11-yarder. Darrington Evans, 17. That was on a screen. DJ Moore, 18 yards. These are the longest catches for each respective receiver here. Cole Kmet with the 18-yarder as well for that touchdown. And then Darnell Mooney had that long 38-yarder down the sideline. So that was great as well. So some good. And there's a lot of other things you could point out. For this team, for the game. I mean, Tyler, the producer, says that Tyson Bajent had like a Steve Young type first half. And then, you know, second half, he just doesn't know what happened outside of the 17 interceptions. You know, he felt like Tyson Bajent had a phenomenal game. So that was some good for him. But then comes the bad. And there's a lot of bad to choose from in this game, right? Like I mentioned, Tyson Bajent, ton of turnovers. There were some moments where you just shook your head and you wish you weren't watching the game. But this one in particular stood out because it's like it wasn't Tyson Bagent related.
A 40-yard attempt for Cairo Santos. And Santos off the upright. No good. His first missed field goal of the season. He had been 11 for 11 and had made 14 in a row going back to last year. A rare miss by Santos.
Now, the reason why that one hurt so much and why it was so bad for me is because the Bears had just gone on a 13-play, 53-yard, 5-minute and 37-second first-half-ending drive.
Momentum shifter.
Bad enough that the Bears couldn't put 7 on the board after they showed that graphic that they'd scored 7 times in a row when they've made it into the red zone. You think you're going to do something, and at the very least, you say, okay, you get to go into half with the lead, feeling good about yourself, and then you miss the field goal. It just, that was the bad, because it made you feel like, can nothing go right for my team? Can we not even just go into the half with a lead? Fine. Blow the lead in the fourth quarter. Fine. Throw the interception late. I know it's going to happen. But Mr. Automatic, Cairo Santos, the one mainstay, the one consistent thing for this Bears team, misses the field goal. That's when it got bad. And then it just, you knew it was just a matter of time. Because let's not forget, to start the second half, Bears fumble out the gate. So it just crumbled. It just crumbled off after that. But then it got ugly. Then things did get ugly because there were multiple opportunities for the Bears to tie this game. I want to, if you're just seeing the box score, if you're just tuning into 670 because you got off work or you're headed to work and you just woke up, something of the sort, Bears had plenty of opportunities to try to tie this game up.
Tyson in trouble, and the ball comes out. Bajan fumbles. It's still loose. Werner scoops it up for the Saints. That is the fourth turnover today by Tyson Bajan. And the fifth for the Chicago Bears.
And this is the first time where the pressure gets to him. Tyson Bagent is just waiting for someone to make a move and win. And he gets knocked down from behind.
DeMario Davis, yeah. I mean, we haven't called much today, but a guy who's been a staple for this New Orleans Saints defense for a long time comes up with a clutch play right when the Saints need it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, again, because the Bears just had so many opportunities to tie the whole thing up. I mean, they tie it up at 17 with a field goal late in the third. Saints end up punting after that. Bears defense does a great job. Bears get the ball back and they go 3-and-out. That's your first opportunity to take the lead or to put some pressure. After going 3-and-out, Saints end up getting the touchdown on the board, taking the lead there in the third. And then what happens next? Like I mentioned, it just seemed to just crumble after that, not getting that, or when the field goal was missed. After the Saints score, interception, they go for it, turnover on downs, Bears get the ball back, another interception. Bears defense does well. Think about that. 3-and-out, turnover on downs, another 3-and-out, field goal miss. Defense playing their little hearts out. And Bears, interception, 3-and-out, fumble that I just played for you right there. So that's when it just got ugly. Where you literally thought it couldn't get any worse for the Chicago Bears. Fumble play. Have an opportunity. Missed field goal? And you're saying, no way Tyson Bagent is going to heaven. People think he's a saint. He is about to come down and tie this game up. And no one's going to care about what happened in this game. I couldn't believe it. It's like, no way. No way. Tyson Bagent, the legend of Tyson Bagent is going to continue right here. And then he fumbles. And then he gets sacked. Gets crushed. It got ugly. It got ugly quickly in this one. And I wonder, again, I wonder what you guys are thinking in terms of this as well with this game. Like, what is your, I mean, I guess I just, when you're saying it all, there's so many moments that you feel like it got away from the Bears. Like, where do you think it got away from the Bears? You can't say the field goal, because that just means you lack composure. It means you're, dare I say, your coaching wasn't good enough? No, that's too harsh. But the phone lines are open, man. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Taking your phone calls, your thoughts on the Bears game. Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. Tyson Bagent, 18 for 30 on the day. I do think Justin Fields would have won this one. I think had he been in this game, had he played, Justin Fields most certainly would have won this game. He would not have had the second half collapse or fourth quarter collapse. Yeah, that Tyson Bagent had. I mean, it's just unacceptable.
Do you think that the Saints' defense is the toughest the Bears will face all year?
I have to go into the schedule. No, all year. I mean, that Minnesota defense is pretty crazy.
They blitz
like crazy. So, I mean, so far this season, I would say the Saints' defense, yes, would be the best.
Probably. Okay, so like on paper wise, New Orleans toughest, but matchup wise, Minnesota.
Yeah, just because Minnesota doesn't care. They're like when you're playing Madden and you know you just do an all out blitz because you're just upset.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I don't care, bro. And then you play safety. Like you let everyone blitz and you play safety because you wait for that and you try to get some sort of interception. That's what Minnesota plays like every down. They are the a la blitz.
And the Bears couldn't adjust to it.
The Bears just couldn't. They got to them way too fast. So the Bears have faced some decent defenses. Let's not forget, when they went up against Green Bay still had a good defense last year. Tampa, they were a healthy defense at the time, and they were a really good defense. Kansas City, they just got Chris Jones back at the time, so they were at full strength. Denver was trying to play for their life.
Yeah.
And Washington, clearly, as everyone noticed, their defenders were simply playing for a contract and trying to get sacks. And so, yeah, I mean, so you really haven't faced this. Listen, this is why most people thought the Bears were going to win a lot of games. Because the schedule isn't difficult. Right. If you now looking at the landscape of the NFL, you faced Green Bay. We know what they are. You face Tampa Bay. We know what they are.
They're showing what they are now.
Yeah. So Kansas City, Denver, we know what they are.
Washington,
we know what they are. Minnesota is probably like, you know, one of your better teams. But the Raiders, we know who they are. And the Chargers are going to beat you because they're just better offensively. And the Saints are like probably the equivalent of the Bears.
Middle of the road, yeah.
If they had Justin Fields. Right? Wouldn't you say that the two teams there would be on similar paths?
The Saints would be so much better with Justin Fields. Yeah, Derek Carr is extremely mediocre.
As is Justin Fields. That's what I said. They'd be the same teams.
You don't think he'd elevate? Well, here's an interesting point here again. When you're talking about Justin Fields and Joshua Dobbs, I don't know if you've ever answered this. How do you think, if they're doppelgangers, how do you think Joshua Dobbs' production on the Bears would be compared to Justin Fields, since you think they're extremely similar?
Yeah, I think he'd be a better Bagent. Right? He'd be a better Bagent. Let's not forget, I pointed out, they have similar rushing yards as well, Joshua Dobbs and Justin Fields. So he'd run similarly because they have damn near the exact same amount of rushing yards up to this year. And he's probably more of a Tyson Bagent passer, but he's just not as good as Justin Fields is as an all-around quarterback, right? Where Justin Fields can probably run a little bit better, right? He's more Tyson Bagent, but he still has, you know, he's still going to throw an interception. He's still going to make a bad decision. So, like I said, they're still the same is just different. Like they're the same. The productivity is going to be the same.
It's the same, yeah. But it's different. No, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, but it's, you know, it sucks. It sucks to be them in this predicament because the Bears have a lot of football to play. Carolina, Detroit, Minnesota. That's your next three before the bye week.
Yeah, thanks. Monday after Thanksgiving, we get to see doppelganger against doppelganger, Fields against Dobbs.
Then you circle back Detroit, Cleveland, Arizona, Atlanta, Green Bay. Like the Bears could theoretically get 6-7 wins this season. Like the last three games of the season, Arizona's not trying to win.
No.
Kyler Murray's going to be there, but, you know, Atlanta, who knows what they're going to be doing at that point with Taylor Heinicke there, or is Desmond Ridder going to be given the reins again because they don't like their experiment? And then the last game of the season against Green Bay, I mean,
you're playing for pride at that point.
So you could win those last three games. You could. Two of the three for sure. And then before that, the Cleveland, you're not beating Cleveland.
Oh, that defense is unbelievable. Yeah,
that stretch of games is going to be tough. But again, if you can sneak one win, if Justin Fields specifically can sneak one win away from Detroit, one out of the two, it'll give him some leverage in the whether or not he should be playing next year. Which, by the way, I have been very clear that Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback of the Bears next year.
I've been thinking about that a lot,
too. Week one, Justin Fields is going to be under center. There's no doubt about it because you've evaluated him, but from a business standpoint, which is how all these teams operate, right? If you're not going to be in Super Bowl contention, it just makes the most sense. You have him under control for another year. Even if you bring in another quarterback, and you have Eberflus there as well. Eberflus has now drafted his future quarterback while understanding that the current is on its way out. And now he can nurture him, show him the way they're doing Bajent and all that good stuff. But with a top-tier quarterback that could change the franchise. But all that happening while Justin Fields is there. And what is Ryan Poles not afraid to do? Which we've seen his first 2 years on the job. Excuse me. Trade at the trade deadline. He is not afraid to make these phone calls. So if Justin Fields is under center week one, that does not mean he'll be there by the end of the season. Somebody will want Justin Fields the same way that Minnesota came calling for Joshua Dobbs. The same way teams are looking for, you know, the Jets were calling around with their quarterback situation. Most certainly next year, somebody's going to need a Justin Fields. And they'll be able to give up some draft capital as a result of it. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez here on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday, taking your phone calls. What are you thinking about this Bears team, this Bears game that you just saw? Am I crazy for thinking Justin Fields and Joshua Dobbs are the same? Do you disagree with me? I would love to hear it. 312-644-6767. We'll take your phone calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.